I remember throughout my life the fear that so many have of what I'm going to be talking about today. And today I will bring out God's Word, and hopefully each one of us then can see that truth of God's Word and understand you don't have to worry about the thing called death. First of all, I will, as we will do each Sunday prior to me bringing you God's message, I would ask that each and every one of you stand, if you would please, now. And we will read John 3:16. I have it in the King James Version because I love it out of there. And let us read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. You may be seated. To honor God's Word, the greatest honor that you or I can give God's Word is in the believing of it. In the believing of it. I honor God's Word. Well, do you believe it? Well, yeah, but you know, there are some things that I don't understand that I probably don't know that I believe. Well, let your pastor share something with you. Doesn't matter how many times I will read the Word of God, your pastor doesn't understand. You know how I came to the conclusion that I don't understand? Every time I read God's Scripture, I get a new message given to me from God. I don't understand how that is. Any other book, any other literature that I may have read over the years for training or whatever it was about, then I would learn and I would put right up here in my mind, in my brain. Larry Stutler, right up here in the brain. Yep. And as you'd put it in the brain, and then what did you do? You would repeat that. You better repeat it correctly on the test. Don't care what you believe. If you know that's the correct answer, put it on the test. God says, my word is more powerful than that. My word, I will speak to you continually. You know, if you kept studying the same thing over and over and over again, pretty soon you said, you know, I don't want any more education. I don't want to learn anymore. There's no more room up there in your brain to be able to hold anymore. And yet the Holy Word of God is always new, the same verse every time you read it. The fear in the hearts and the minds of so many comes by way of a word called death. My sister died May the 12th, 2015, of a tragic, tragic death, along with my brother-in-law. I would think back at one of the statements my sister made every time we got in any conversation. She did not understand why anyone has to die. She despised death. She was terrified to go into a funeral home. All the way up, she was 80-something. But she did not see any purpose of death, and it didn't matter what her little brother was trying to bring up. It just never sunk in. She knows the answer to it now. Without a doubt, in my mind, she knew the Lord, as my brother-in-law did, and I'll get to see them soon. But you and I are still here. You and I still wrestle with this thing called death. And as we look at it, I want you to understand God's word on it. And her question always was, why do we have to die? Why? You know, I just want to end up right there being with the Lord. Well, and I know a few others that like the rapture concept. I'm going to be here, not going to have to die. I'm just going to be swooped up into heaven with God at the rapture. Well, I got news for you, people. You might be swooped up in this body, but the time you reach Jesus, the old is cast away. But there's no difference. Listen to me. There's no difference. When I step over that great chasm into the world of what the world calls death, I don't step over into death. I step over into the everlasting arms of my Lord and Savior. You and I remain children to God. I don't care how old we are physically. You look at your life. Think of it. When you look in the mirror, the older and older we get, we don't understand why the body is changing when we're still in here thinking about doing things we did when we were young. Roller skating. Don't try that. After you get over 60, 70, leave them alone. All the things, well, I can do that. You know, I was raised on roller skates. I can roller skate. Well, your mind can. Your body can't. It's messed up. Walk up the steps and your knees give out. Try it on a skating rink. Same thing. But in your mind. Well, here's what God says. I'm not going to mess with your mind. I want to mess and talk to your spirit. I want to share with you the reason we have to separate from this physical body. First of all, and why death? Because Jesus wants us to be with Him. Now you got to remember something. The sinful nature cannot come in the presence of God. So God the Father sends His only begotten Son in the form of sinful nature, the human form, and He conquered sin by never sinning. So it is God incarnate, Jesus Christ, comes to earth, and then all the promises He relates to us as His children, He said, I have not spoken anything to you that my Father didn't tell me to speak to you. I've quoted my Father. Therefore, understand, the same words my Father gave me, I give to you. 1 Corinthians 15:50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. God allows us to separate from this body in a term we use called death. It's only death of the body. Only death of the body. You and I are told by God, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The judgment that was brought forth was the judgment of whether you believe or disbelieve. When Jesus says, those who will accept me and my teaching, accept me as to who I am, I want you to know you will never see death. Well, you know, I think that's sort of great. The word is out there that God had promised me and you, you won't see death. And yet we talk about, well, He died. And the correct term is He passed on or passed over. That's the biblical correct term. He passed over. Now, the only biblical term about He's dead comes in from the non-believer. We are told by God that when you believe in me, my Son, then your life is promised throughout eternity. You're part of my family, the family of God. Therefore, don't worry, because you're not going to die, but your body cannot come in the presence of God. We have loved ones that have gone on. And people say, why did God do this? When I leave this body, I want you to know that God loves me. I want you to know that when I leave this body, I am not dead. When Jesus promised you eternal life, when you said yes to Him, guaranteed. Well, yeah, but I got to die to go to heaven. You're not going to die. Sadly, neither are the non-believers. Remember during the resurrection of the dead, of those who died in Christ, the bodies, they're all put back together, but perfect. We were never created by God to ever die, folks. But sin came into the human nature. Therefore, in order, because of the Adam and Eve, but sin came into the human nature. And God says, I'm the one that created human nature. I'm still in control. So therefore, because it's not your fault, it's not mine. I wasn't in the Garden of Eden, no matter how old you think I am. I was not there. God was. And He saw you. And He saw me. And the plan was set before time began, that Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, God incarnate, would walk among men and take the penalty for our sin. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm a whosoever. I'm a human being. When I said yes to Jesus, I got all of Jesus I'll ever get. And Jesus is working in my life in this human condition, and I'm still just giving Him parts of me a little bit as I go. You see the human nature? But I don't go to heaven on anything that I do. I'm not kept out of heaven on anything that I've done. I go to heaven because I know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Despite all my weaknesses, despite all the conditions of life, I'm a child of the King, never feeling worthy. But I would never say that in prayer, because Jesus says, when you said yes to me, Larry, you were saying that you were not worthy and you depend on me. So therefore, God says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, in order for me to witness the kingdom of God, I have to get out of this body. God said, I breathe life into you. You are a spiritual being. And that vehicle's going to fall apart. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. You can't do that on your own, folks. The promise is given to whosoever will let Him come. But the promise is so deep that we need to catch that God says, when you say that, when you say yes to my Son, count it that you're already here. Count it that you're already here. Not something you work towards. Works won't get it. Looks don't get it. Clothes don't get it. The blood of Jesus Christ has already got it. And it is through His love, His blood, that He said, I want you to be with me, but you can't be with me in that broken down body of yours. And the older I get, the more I can appreciate what He's talking about, right? So the Lord says, I got a new body waiting for you. I'm not going to give you a transplant. I'm going to give you a transfiguration. I'm going to completely transform you, and you're going to walk with me forever and ever and ever in a glorified body, just like I showed you my Son's got. Jesus says, don't you know me? Oh, by the way, Philip, don't you understand when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? The Father who'll never leave me, nor never forsake me. All the foolishness of life God cannot hold against me, will not hold against me. You know why? Because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the everlasting blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, come and be with me. From the beginning of birth, God gives a promise to the infants, all the children. The warning comes through Jesus. Don't mess with my kids. They're mine. I will protect them. And then he says, do you not realize that their angels report to my Father on a daily basis? Now, I don't know about you, but when you know that the angels that are sent here, God says, to help us through our physical conditions and all, that when God says they're going to talk to me about him, do I understand that depth? Nope. I don't understand why God would save me either, but I'm saved. But I take him at his word. Therefore, you better protect those children. God used Jesus' human death, here you go, to conquer Satan's hold on death. Satan was a bragging. You got to remember during the Passion of Christ, when you're thinking about the betrayal of Jesus, and I can just picture Satan jumping up and down, they killing him, and Satan still didn't get it. Until right at the end of the human existence of Jesus, Satan got it. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Too late. Salvation is assured for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. Satan, all you can do is tempt. You have no authority any longer because your hold on death was so powerful. Well, let me read something to you. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. This is through the Message verse. Since children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. By embracing death, taking it into himself, he, Jesus, destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life scared to death of death. That's why I used that version. Scared to death of death. Or what do you fear most? Death. We battle in our life. You and I are human. We agree with that, right? All of us know the feelings of human nature. But just because things are human nature doesn't mean that we have a right to fall into the sin of human nature. Just because I am a human being, I do not have the right. Listen to me. Nobody, including pastors, preachers, teachers, anybody, nobody can walk so close to Jesus Christ and find that they have a right to sin. Well, I'm going to heaven anyway, preacher. You keep saying that. So if once saved, always saved, I can go out and do anything that I want. And I'm still going to heaven. Preacher, do you believe that? I believe that in the human nature, there is a part of us that wages war against our new nature. Now, where did I get that? I got it from God's word. The Creator. Now, when I choose sin, as a Christian, it is sin. Okay, what's the punishment then for you Christians? When you sin, if you say you have everlasting life, the punishment for the Christian is the sin. A lost person doesn't care. They're not affected by right and wrong. Many, sadly though, are good individuals. Individuals who want to do the right thing, but they do it for the wrong reason. The peace that you will find in your heart is not a peace that you can conjure up through your brain. The peace that you're looking for is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Only God can give you that peace. Only God can give you the type of peace that when the doctor says you got cancer and you're going to die, that you smile. You know what? Why do we pay these guys and gals to tell us we're going to die when I can read it in the book God gave me? You're going to die, Larry. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because I can't be with my Savior until I leave this body. Neither can you. But one thing about it, my friends, you and I need to understand as children of God, there is no longer any sting to death. There will be no longer any victory for the grave, for Jesus Christ has conquered. You'll see this body in death if you're still around, but I will still be there. Oh, not in a body. I just picture how many are watching as we read Scripture and know that those that are in heaven do know what is going on earth for some reason or way. And all of heaven rejoices every time a new individual soul is saved. All heaven rejoices. Do you think that the salvation... Let me do it this way again. Two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Out of those two ordinances for the church, only the Lord's Supper continues throughout eternity. That's remembering what Christ has done for us, the breaking of His body and the giving of His blood for us. The Lord said, I won't take of this until I come to my kingdom. When you all get here, boys, we're going to do this again and we're going to do it forever. What a glory. What an honor for Christ throughout eternity. And you and I get to be a part of that. Not because of what we did, but because of who He is. I promise you, you can try to walk the talk that you're talk, and you're going to fall. You walk the talk of Jesus. And the only problem are the pitfalls that are in front of you. And God says it this way to us. Your enemy digs a pit, but they fall into their own trap. When you are following Jesus, will you make mistakes? Oh, good gracious. All the time you're in this human condition, day in, day out. But Jesus didn't. He did not make a mistake when He looked at your life before time began and knew who you would be and knew what would be going on in your life and the direction. Do you realize that many, many of the greatest orators, of the leaders of Christianity, were enemies of Christianity? Apostle Paul, why, he was supporting and issuing orders to kill the Christians. Man, he had to fight those orders that he issued after he became a Christian. He was getting stoned, shipwrecks, and all of this. And I get this picture of Peter and him saying, I guess you're sorry that you issued that one, huh, Paul? Because they were human beings just like us. Human beings letting us know that we can be freed. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 55. Then, the death. You got it? When our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death was in the law, legalism. The victory is in the blood of Jesus. Jesus was not a legalist. I finished my article for the February newsletter. And in doing that, I wanted you to see words in red. Focus on what Jesus said. The power of His holy word. And Jesus, in that article, is invited to dinner. Remember one of the greatest judgments that the Pharisees putting against him was that he ate with sinners. And the Pharisees said, can you believe that? So one of the Pharisees invited him to his house for dinner. And people would say, well, I hope he didn't accept. He did accept. But as you will see, as Dr. Luke is recording it, Jesus starts calling all of them at the dinner table hypocrites. You had the lawyers or the legalists of the law, the smart ones that knew the law, and they even wrote in a few extra ones just so they could control people. And then you had the Pharisees, the great religious leaders of it. So Jesus starts nailing the Pharisees, letting them know. They said, but we tithe and give. Jesus says, yeah, it's good that you do. You ought to do that. But something you forgot, and that's love, the love of God. You forgot mercy. You forgot grace. And so the legalists speak up and say, but Lord, you have just embarrassed us and insulted us too. Well, what would Jesus say? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You know what he said? Yes. Yes, I did. Because you're just as much of a hypocrite, and woe unto you, for you have a comeuppance coming. That's a language that I probably should have not have translated it in. But think of that. You were wrong, and you've led my children astray. My child, your child, you as children of God, will never see death. Can't happen. Jesus says, I love you. And by the way, Larry, you're going to get to see the ones that went before you. And those that are left will be seeing you pretty quick. In the twinkling of an eye. For the Lord says, 1,000 years is as a day to me, and a day as 1,000 years. There's no time. In God's realm, I love you. People say, is that all you got? I love you. Yep, it's all any of us have. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him be known. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. We need to be singing it more. And we need to be going over prayers with our children more. Do the now may thou lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should live another day, I pray the Lord to guide my way. You all remember that? I know some of us don't remember much of anything anymore. Folks, I love you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love, for your mercy. Help us now, Father, as we leave this building, that we do not leave your love. We do not forget your name. We will lift you above all names. Thank you, Father, for the children you send our way, that they will be your children, Father, till the day they leave this body and throughout eternity. Thank you for loving us, Father. We ask a blessing now upon each one in Jesus' name. Amen.